It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As the colors of autumn entice us to do some foliage watching, many people in Pittsburgh need look no further than their nearby neighborhoods. According to the U.S. Forest Service and the University of Vermont Spatial Analysis Lab, 42% of Pittsburgh is covered by tree canopy. That's more than green cities like Portland, Washington, D.C., Austin, and Philadelphia. Despite our reputation as an industrial town, Pittsburgh has one of the largest urban forests in the country. So how did these forests form? And what is an urban forest? What is an urban forest? And where can they be found? I'm joined now in Studio A by urban forester Brian Walniak and Heather Mikulas, the agricultural, marketing, and economic development educator for the Penn State Cooperative Extension of Allegheny County. Welcome, both of you, to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul.
Hi, nice to be here.
Brian Walniak, we'll start with you. What is an urban forest?
An urban forest is pretty much anything where you have trees and people together. So that could be an urban place like Pittsburgh, or it could be even in a more rural area where you just have a small town with people and trees and together.
How do they form? How do these forests form, particularly in a place like Pittsburgh where, you know, the space is kind of tight? It's, you know, a Central Park in New York would be considered an urban forest, but that's on the west side of New York, right? That's a big spread out area. But here in Pittsburgh, we're smaller. In downtown, everything just kind of forms into a triangle. So it's narrow. How does this happen here?
Essentially, everything was planted, so for the most part, with the exception maybe of some of the parks. But our urban forests essentially got there because it was planted probably many, many, many years ago.
Who had the foresight to do that? Who was responsible for that?
That's a good question. Probably a whole number of people. Most recently here, the biggest actors we have in Pittsburgh, organizations like Tree Pittsburgh, working with the city and Western Pennsylvania Conservancy, and the county parks as well, and other agencies to green up the city again. We can think of like Point State Park and look at the history of that and how that came to be developed. There weren't any trees there before that got redeveloped.
Really?
In the park.
So really within the last half century or so?
Yeah, and I don't know the exact timeline on that, but I think it was within the past 50 years when that was redeveloped, and prior to that, that was all industrial area. And so to have trees back in the city is somewhat new. We also hear about and probably can find old photos of the hillsides in Pittsburgh without any trees on it, just muddy hillsides. So it was a lot of that.
Probably had a lot of runoff, too, from because there weren't trees there. And so it's obviously much better to have those trees. Heather, how would you describe Pittsburgh's urban forest?
We have a great diversity with the urban forest here, and so the green spaces are just lovely to be enjoyed, and we have so many recreational activities that surround them. And so whether you're an amateur botanist and you want to go outside for a hike and see what is there, or if you just want to mountain bike or run or hike with your friends or pick up leaves with kids to press between wax paper this time of year, there's a lot of different pieces. There are some intentional urban forests, such as Brian was mentioning, that go beyond just the green space and the great population of trees. And we have some intentional food forests in Pittsburgh, which are a little bit different. And that is an intentional forest of edible plants.
Yeah, and I want to talk about some of that. But how are city trees biologically different? What can you tell us about that? I don't know. And I don't know who's the better person. I guess Brian's the guy.
That's your
area of expertise.
Exactly. Yeah. So trees growing in the city are, essentially biologically they're growing the same way as any other plant or tree elsewhere. But the biggest difference comes in terms of the different kind of stress that they're going to be subjected to. They're typically growing in smaller spaces with compacted soil, lack of water, a lot of extra reflected heat off of roadways and sidewalks. So they deal with a lot more stress. So the heat
reflected off sidewalks creates stress on the trees? I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, so if you think of when you walk into the woods in the middle of the summer, it's pretty comfortable and mm-hmm. cool compared to, say, a city street. So just as a comparison that you can feel yourself, the trees are kind of feeling the same thing.
Now that I think about that, you're right. So that has an effect. Any other issues that are important to consider here?
Just all those other stresses. And, in terms of winter, we have salt on the road that can spray, get into the soil around trees. That adds more stress. And so overall, our urban trees are just dealing with a shorter lifespan in general because of these stresses. And they just need more care as a result.
What about Pittsburgh's greenways? Some people may have heard of Pittsburgh's seldom seen greenways. What are they and where are they?
So the greenways are a little bit different by design from a park in that they're often a spoke that can connect pieces of communities or pieces of other parks. So if you think about a park as sort of being the hub, the greenway would be the spoke between. So there's often a transportation piece, whether it's a foot trail or a bike trail.
So the difference between a park and a greenway is a transportation piece.
It usually is a transportation piece, sort of connecting the natural spaces.
Not just, and I would add also, it's not only for people, but it's also, in a sense, transportation for wildlife as well between those other green areas.
And who looks after Pittsburgh's greenways and urban forests? Are we talking about green space that needs to be cared for?
We are talking about green space that needs to be cared for. And so it takes a great effort from the private and public sector to care for all of these spaces. So you have the county involved, the city involved, a handful of nonprofits involved, and then you have Penn State, the land grant institution that's helping to provide that research-based education behind to form best practice decisions. So it's a great community effort.
Now, for the last 4 years, the neighborhood of Hazelwood has been home to a unique form of urban forest. Talk about the Hazelwood food forest. You brought it up earlier. What is it exactly?
So again, a food forest is a general term out of the permaculture movement, which is a really interesting way to recreate environmental systems. And it's a perspective of how to garden in which you're recreating a multi-tiered ecosystem. And so this can be done with native plants, and this can be done with edible plants or a combination of these. So around the country, around the world, the permaculture movement started in Australia. And so it has manifested in Pittsburgh in a food forest in Hazelwood. So oftentimes what you're doing when you're constructing a food forest is having multi-tiered ecological system that's redeveloped. And so you'll have a tall tree, maybe like a hickory or an oak that you're getting nuts from. Then you'll have an understory tree such as a pawpaw or some other fruit tree. And then under that, you might have a berry bush, and then for ground cover, something like strawberries. So from the ground all the way up to the tallest canopy of the forest, you are getting either food or shelter for wildlife or people. And so for about 6 years now, there's been an active food forest in the Hazelwood neighborhood, run by a couple of really great women, and they have some mature fruit trees on site and regular volunteer nights on Wednesdays in season, and occasionally host teaching workshops and interns for learning.
So I'm envisioning people being able to walk in there and just pick some fruit. Does it not work that way?
Well, I think it depends on which food forest you're working with. And so we do have this community sort of driven Hazelwood food forest. And so the folks who are involved with that, sort of share with the community and share between themselves. There are also some other food forests that are a little bit off the radar or could be larger in scope on some of the subsidence zones in Pittsburgh. So usually if you're into permaculture and you're practicing or you want to learn how to practice, you very quickly meet these people in the Pittsburgh area if you'd like to get involved and learn how to maybe construct something at your house or just out of curiosity participate.
And are there any dangers people should know about when eating from urban food forests?
Well, as with any urban gardening activity, whether it's a regular vegetable garden or a food forest, environmental contaminations and human health are always something that have to be explored. So the baseline for any kind of agriculture activity is to have a soil test, and specifically looking at lead. We have so much lead contamination, and so there are guidelines for the results of those. And they can range anything from, you know, it's okay to go ahead with a project, maybe doing raised beds, all the way to choose another site. And the real danger comes from disturbing the soil and ingesting it, from breathing it, eating it, and especially for children and pregnant women. And so it's really important to do your soil test kit. And our office can help do that. It's a very inexpensive test that we can do the initial screening on. And so just due diligence for human health. After that, soil issue, you're wanting to if you know that you have contaminants in the soil, you'll want to stay away from leafy greens as a general rule. Brassicas tend to bioaccumulate toxins in their leaves. And the other thing that you want to do is to just be cautious and remember that as great as it is to garden, as great as it is to install a food forest, the ultimate thing is to improve the ecological health and protect human health at the same time. So if you have a contaminated site, just look elsewhere. There's a lot of willing partners in open space in Pittsburgh to find an appropriate site.
And finally, as we alluded to in the introduction, those who like to find scenic fall foliage throughout the season can actually get some skyline views and watch the turning leaves right in this city. What are some places people might like to visit?
Certainly, there's lots of places to go. As you mentioned, kind of these skyline views, Point State Park is a great place to go down to and get a nice view of Mount Washington over to the west end. See that whole hillside as it changes color in the fall. And certainly to go into any of the city regional parks or out to some of the county parks for a more kind of immersive experience to really kind of walk through the woods and see that color up close.
And when does it peak? Is it
Generally, kind of as we go through these first few weeks of October, it's always hard to tell exactly because of what the weather is going to do in the next couple of weeks can have an impact on that. It looks to be on a fairly regular schedule here.
About that time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll have to get out there. Urban forester Brian Walniak and Heather Mikulis, the agricultural marketing and economic development educator for the Penn State Cooperative Extension of Allegheny County. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Coming up, Carol Burnett comes to Western Pennsylvania to honor Jimmy Stewart. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.